This is the Levels Network. I am Justin Hordle, joined by the Triple OG, Widowman Mason, OG. How was your weekend, brother?
It's good, man. Very low key. Because the week before, the Gold Coast took a couple out of me.
We had a big weekend, and we've got some big weekends coming up.
Yeah, I need to lay low for
so
a couple of weeks.
Quieter
mate. Yeah, real quiet. Just family time, trained it all weekend, got after it, E-Lab, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's a good time. Good man, Randy Matua. Breakfast with him a couple of times.
Oh, nice. How's Randy?
A couple of sessions
good?
With him. Yeah, he's doing really good.
Yep.
Got his
I've
own
seen he's
cleaning,
been training for the last
company,
sort of couple of weeks.
Own cleaning company. Yeah, he's been training. Yeah. You know, ebbs and flow. You know, people come in ebbs and flow, especially after Christmas and everything like that. You know, he just needs to get back after it. And, you know, he trains with Braith, with that Strong Dad and all those guys. They all get after it. So Ren just needs to get back into the mix, mate. You know, I just try and – we'll try and help each other.
Yeah,
you know?
For
we're
sure.
All same, we're all the same, similar ages. We're all still best mates. And we just go, all right, well, if someone's – down a little bit or they're in a little bit of a rut. So, fuck, you know how to get out of it.
Yep.
You've been in deeper. You know what I mean? Like, just start training your ass off and that's just start it. Getting into, start eating right food. We've got to get off the piss, all this sort of stuff. That's it. We promote balance here, lifestyle and balance. And, like, everyone, you know, not everyone's up. We can't stay up all the time.
For sure.
We're always like this. Sometimes we get some little bit of a lull, especially after Christmas. You know, you've got business things happening here, there. You know, life goes on and just need to get back on track.
Bit of routine, isn't it?
And I went and saw the SG Ball Boys at Belmore.
Oh, awesome. How are they looking?
Yeah, it was good, man. It's like I've never seen a bunch of kids that were just so nervous before a game. Yeah. It brought back so many memories. I said to little Mitch Woods, he's fucking going to be a little rock star, this kid. Mm. I said to Woodsy, I was like, I think I was more nervous before Jersey Flegg and SG Ball games than I was before a test or an origin.
Yeah.
I said, that's how fucking nerve-wracking it is. Because
why
of
is that?
Because of the expectations.
Yeah.
When you're supposed to be that dude and you're shooting for the stars, right? You want to play NRL. You want to play for New South Wales and Australia and everything like that. And they're your dreams.
You can't make a mistake.
Yeah, they're your dreams. I'm looking at some of these boys that are like, you know, they're eye level with me and they're sitting there like, they're really nervous. And I'm like, dude. Big foe, young Polynesian brother.
That's going to be my next question.
He killed it.
Mitch Woods is a – everyone knows about
Woods
Mitch Woods.
Yeah, Woods is going to be that. He's the next
Any other young kids that you love
young
sort
kid,
of coming
young
through?
Young Sefa, the young back rower, foe, big prop. And Big Foe was like – he was nervous. And I could tell. And I just went up to him and said, just breathe, mate.
Yeah.
Just breathe. I said, you can't control the outcome. There's a lot of overthinking, you know what I mean? You can't handle – there's a lot of external pressure from these younger kids, from family, friends, social media. Totally different from when we were 17, when I was 17, 18-year-old kid.
True.
You just went out there and played. No one gave a shit, you know what I mean? You knew the selectors or someone was watching, just like, yeah, I'll just go out there and just like – you just wanted to kill it. I could feel that they could feel that pressure, of the families. You know, like if you played bad there –
it's all over YouTube.
It's
and
all
stuff
over here. Now. Yeah. So I was like, oh, isn't he the next big thing? Yeah. He was awful. So they must be thinking about that. YouTube, you could be embarrassed and all this kind of stuff. So I just went out there a few words with him and said, you can't control the outcome. You can control what you can control.
Yep.
6'5", 120-kilo wrecking machine. Be that.
Yeah.
Breathe. Control your breathing. Get through the warm-up. Go out there and just be an animal. That's it.
Great advice. Great advice for the youngsters.
Yeah, but like I've never felt it. I look, Zappy was Razzle
Roy.
Did you
feel a bit nervous for him?
I was nervous for him. I was sitting there going, oh, God. And like Stevie Turner's he's the coach and Roy Asatasi's like the trainer and like part of the coaching system. So we're all around. We're just like going, I feel so
you're
nervous.
You're mentoring these young kids, so
I'm
you
like,
feel
I know,
part
but I'm
of
like,
well.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I feel nervous for these kids. Yeah. I'm like, they're sitting there. I could feel it. And I love it. And I said, guys, you should be embracing this shit. Mm. This is the stuff. This is the start of the dream. Mm. This is it.
This
is where it starts at Belmore. I did this shit in 98. Like, I went through this. I know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah.
Just fucking love it. Represent the
club. Goes quick, too.
I said, it goes quick. I said, look at that fucking jersey. Look what you're playing for. Look where you are. And then fucking get out there and rip in. They went there toe to toe with the Roosters. The Roosters were great. And the momentum can ruin everything from the NRL all the way back down. So we were ahead by 4 points. We made one mistake. They scored 5 tries in a row.
Oh, wow. Anyone,
5 sets.
Any? I don't know if you know the names, but were there some impressive kids?
Some
in the
kids
Roosters?
And the Roosters were very impressive.
Yeah.
There was a couple of local juniors.
Oh, good.
But there was a couple of kids that obviously they've bought from. oh, they're out west or New Zealand, like this little clone of Sam Moa back in 2013.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He scored. He was and I don't think when you're at that age, you don't know how to hit. You don't know how to handle a Sam Moa runaway train like that.
No.
You don't hit him because he'll fly. You manage him.
I didn't even learn that.
No, but like you learn. You learn. You take the pressure. You go up, hit, grab the ball and let him have his 5 metres or something like that.
Use
and then
the
you get help. Levers can, and then just take the pressure. You know what I mean? You can't go out and try and hit this young kid. This kid's running beautiful lines. Beautiful lines. Be happy with it for any NRL level. Beautiful. And you try and put a hit on, bang, 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 try. You know what I mean? About 10, 15 out. Another one started outside B. Marcus come out, bang, off his right, inside B, C, bang, try. I was like, oh, he's dangerous.
Do you know his name?
I don't know his name.
Try to find out what his name is.
I didn't find his name. And another.
It'll be in the program.
Yeah, number 15 he was. I was like, 15 is going to score again.
All right.
And I was just.
So I sat by myself.
Okay. And like, obviously, there was a lot of other people around, Rooster supporters. And I said, 15 to score here.
Okay.
Bang, just running those beautiful lines. Number 10
was
there.
Was it SG Ball, was it?
SG Ball,
so
yeah.
If you're at the game or you're watching us and your friends and family at 15, give us a shout out. I'll give a shout out.
He works on his fitness and he works on a couple of little things there. Him and the number 10, they've got some really good kids there.
Got some good middles
there. Yeah, and we had them on the ropes.
Yep.
But as I said, momentum's hard to get back.
In any
level. How do you get it back? So just say in 2006, we're trying to get momentum back. We're under the pump.
Yep.
Shifty, kick it out.
Yeah.
So you kick it out. So there's 30 seconds, 45 seconds. You walk to a scrum, 20 meters in. You got to wait for us to get to the scrum.
And during that period, you can suck it in.
Yeah.
Talk to each other,
you did that. And the refs were, hurry up, Willie. Fuck off. I wouldn't say fuck. But like, no way.
You probably did.
We're buggered. You know what I mean? Like, no, we're stuffed. Yeah, so there's the break in momentum. You get to the scrum, you
really
recalibrate, and then you attack in defense, right? And try and get a really good defensive system. Mm. You kick it out now, they pass it straight back in, and you're under the pump again. Right. And I'm like, so the only way to break momentum right now is defense and working harder.
Yeah.
And then completing sets, getting the ball back, getting in a completion, and then kicking it back in the corners like Penrith do. And then hopefully get a mistake. And then, like, it's so hard. It's so hard to get, bro.
It's got to be a mentality.
It's a mentality, right? And so if you get back-to-back sets of six, resilience, man, it's hard to, like, some kids just, they just break.
Mm.
You know? Because the game was on a tilt. Yeah, the NRL teams break. Imagine SG Ball when it's on a tilt like that. They were both going at it. It's hot as hell. 36, 35 degrees at Belmore.
Mm.
No one feels sorry for you. No one cares. I told him. I said, hey, we all got to go through this shit. You got to earn your right to play at 7:30.
100%.
You know, like you got to sit out here and just deal with it. And I said, but it was hard. And it was like this, you know, 55th minute. And I'm like, it was like a 4-point game. And then one mistake.
And then it
went boom, five tries. Well. It was good watching it. It was good. I was out there just watching these young Bulls because I see them all preseason going at it. I'm like, yeah, I was fucking impressed. I don't care about the five tries. You know, momentum sucks, but like,
it's early on. It's early in the season.
First round. First round. Yep. 35 degrees at Belmore.
So they were.
What do you expect?
Yeah,
it was good, but it was good. Yeah, it was really good.
Oh, that's awesome, mate. All right, Mace, next week, let's get into. We'll let everyone know that hasn't been watching the show to begin the year. We will be hosting or be there presented by the Tab. At the official party in Australia for the Sydney for the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 58 party. You can join us with NFL Australia and the Tab for the official Super Bowl party on Sydney Harbour. Tickets are on sale right now. For more information, follow the link in the bio.
I'm pumped. I'm actually pumped.
49ers Chief.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories? Oh, any conspiracy theories?
Taylor Swift and Kelsey?
Did they get the job done?
Did Baltimore throw it?
Has it been written?
Is Mr. Pfizer in there? I don't know. Is Mr. Pfizer and Taylor?
Yeah.
Joe Biden? Imagine all these conspiracy theories. Like, you know, we read them and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, bro, that surely is not true.
It's hard to not to get carried away with stuff like this.
Because they believe their own shit.
Because they're
I'm not saying I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Yeah. I believe in a lot of shit, man. But
it's like,
are you serious? Like, does Baltimore throw an AFC championship game? So like
Ravens fans.
So Taylor Swift and Kelsey can be, come on, bro. So Biden can get re-elected again?
Dude, it's like 95. Going deep now. We're going to the presidential
election.
That's
what it is.
Yeah, okay.
Bro, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what they reckon it is. Okay. Like Taylor Swift, because like all the whatever her side is, whatever
Biden.
Yeah, and Pfizer, they paid Kelsey like 50 mil for Pfizer. She's sort of come in, gotten 300 million followers, all want to vote, all that demographic vote for like Biden to get him reelected. That's what this conspiracy is. I'm like, fucking surely not.
Well, if you want to talk about this with us on the boat, tickets are on sale right now. For more information, follow the link in bio. Like I said before, Lukey will chuck that in the show. Also, I want to give a massive shout out to Factory Sound.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. The DJ equipment is the best. The high-end audio for events, probably like the Super Bowl party as well. They've got everything. And I just want to thank myself too, Mace.
Why? What's up? What'd you do?
I just feel like I'm in career best form at the moment. Yeah. I feel like I'm in good nick.
We trained this morning. You were on.
Been training
told
hard.
Told you your form is A-lab.
Thank you,
got
mate.
Gotcha, mate. Gotcha.
I feel like I'm in a good rhythm at the moment. And you know why? It's because I've been pumping the Body Science energy drinks, mate. They're the ultimate solution for boosting focus and mental performance.
What was sitting on my bench when you come in got changed this morning.
You little microdose in the morning, give yourself a couple of little sits.
Not a microdose.
Smashed it all. they have 160 milligrams of caffeine, a clean energy boost to power through your workouts. You can enjoy them guilt-free because they have no unnecessary sugar and carbs as well, mate. And, mate, honestly, jokes aside, having a really good 2024, I've been super focused, and I really think these cans are a big part of it.
We're all getting after it. Lukey Stowe,
yep,
getting after it every weekend. Grinding. I'm getting after it. You're getting after it. It's a good vibe. It's good energy.
Shout out to BSC for helping us get after it. Do you want to give it another crack? Give it a crack. You love pumping them during the show.
I love it.
And, and it helps Lukey. I was chatting to Lukey about it.
Really?
We were heading off. We did an episode with the
– How was the golf? How was the golf?
Unreal. Unreal. Shout out to Parramatta for the invite. Obviously, with Tab sponsor the Parramatta Eels this year.
Nice.
So we went out there and had a chat to all the players. I went head-to-head with six of the boys, so I took on Junior Bolo.
Big boy. How's he looking?
Good. I talked to him about – I brought up, I said...
Ben Hannett? No, I'm sorry. When we told Benny Hannett last week, I said, can you not fight again, please? You've got eight kids. I love you, Brain. Yeah. I love you. The hits to the head I really worry about. I said, please don't fight a person like Junior Paulo he's about it, right? Fight someone who's just...
It was interesting what Benny has said. He said, like, obviously, Gal's got the runs on the board and a beast. And this is what Benny Hannett said, but he goes, man, Junior was different. Junior was different.
Junior can fight, bro. Yeah, yeah. If he fought, he went toe to toe with Gal.
Yeah.
When Gal was at his peak and Junior was just sort of like,
he would have been 23 back then, 24.
I think, like, you know, obviously they're never going to fight. Gal's done, you know, but Gal's a fucking machine.
Yeah. But, if Junior wanted to go into
but
that.
But Junior, you could probably ask Gal and go, that was a pretty even fight.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Gal's always shown respect to Junior.
Yeah, Junior can fight. Yeah. Big boy who can move and generate that power.
He just got, you're right, the movement.
The movement, man. Like, look at the way he moves on the field. He shouldn't move like that at 125 kilo. They're saying he's 125. I'm being generous here. Yeah. He shouldn't be able to move like that, man.
He's so thick, man. I asked him a question about how we value the props.
Yeah.
Make sure you watch the episode. It's coming soon. Luke is going to be getting into that. We'll have that by the start of the season for sure. Gimme Par episode. Took on six of the boys. Junior, Brycey Cartwright, Regan Campbell-Gillard, Jermaine Hopgood, Clint Gutherson, and Mitch Moses.
Do you reckon the front row's got a bit of swag now, a little bit of extra swag?
Well, ask him about.
I'm just saying, like, just not don't worry about him. Just saying, like, we're like one of the highest paid.
Yeah.
In your team.
Well, I asked him about the importance of a front row.
I know the importance. Rate who do you think you're talking to?
And I said, where do they rate themselves? Him and Reggie.
So, up the top.
Yeah.
Right up the
look
top.
Look forward to that. We also want. Everyone to make sure they're continuing to subscribe. If you're a new listener, this one made me laugh, Mace. We had a message from a guy, Fix a Tomato. I don't know if he's a new listener. That's his name on YouTube, but he goes,
he's not a Maori boy, is he?
I hate that I'm starting to like Mace with a laughing emoji. So if you're new, make sure you subscribe.
What was that?
Make sure
I hate you tell that I'm starting to like Mace. Sorry, mate.
I think we get that a lot, like life after footy, where they might have a perception of you. That's changed now when they hear you talk about the game. 28,000 on Instagram. We're growing nicely. We're going to get to 30K for sure. And subscribe on Apple and Spotify. And a big one, probably from last year that we sort of haven't translated into this year, is YouTube questions. Really big on them. It helps build out our show. I really want to know what the fans and all our listeners think that are current in the game or all want to know questions, and we can help these out. So let's start off with one of them, mate. Off the back of last episode, this one is from a username with a CSTL123. What do you guys think about Jason Tomagoat to Melbourne? Looks like they'll really need his X factor in the forwards. Keep up, Mahi lads.
Love that question. That would be so dangerous with that guy, because what they do lack in that forward pack is leg speed.
Mm.
Nas, he's a big boy. Kamakamitha Welsh, big bodies and everything like that. Do a lot of the, you know, they do a lot of the little things. They run hard, they tackle hard, but they don't have that extra leg speed like a Jason Taumalolo. Even Josh King.
Toilers.
Like just toilers. You know, love the them back, as well. Even the back. Katoa is a massive, big unit.
Yep.
A fit Jason Taumalolo, he would take them to the top four easy. Even though they are a top four team, they would have a definite strike.
Yeah. Do you reckon they're genuine contenders?
They're genuine contenders anyway.
Correct.
Let alone a pissed off Jason Taumalolo.
Yeah.
I don't want to see that. Yeah. I want to see him carve up this year just in spite of all the bullshit.
Yeah.
I think he's got that. He's made of that. He's got that dog in him.
I think there'll be one more big year for him at the Cowboys and then he might become available next year.
Yeah. But he'll be 31 maybe next year. Yeah. He's still got another two years max. Like, and depending on what Bellamy's doing as well.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Yeah,
that's I wouldn't be going there if Bellamy is not there.
Yeah. Well, he's been saying for a while now, but the whispers are that this is his last year.
Yeah, but he just
and loves, they brought Jason Rolls back
so
too.
Much.
That's a bit of an indication. Jason Rolls went to the Roosters, come back. He was going to coach the Dragons. He decides not to coach the Dragons with a great opportunity to go where and then he's back at Melbourne. That's probably an indication that there could be something.
But Jason Taumalolo in any team is dangerous, let alone Melbourne and that structure and the culture down there. Like, he would go and just say if he's fit, if he's 90% fit, he's destroying the game.
For sure.
Josh King can just drop back to the bench, he'll be starting prop. Something like that. I don't know. It depends how they want to play. It depends if they want to be ball players or they want to just go straight through the front door.
Well, would you be happy with Jace at this point of his career to be coming off the bench for a team like Melbourne to bring in that X
factor? No way.
No, you want him starting?
He starts games. He sets standards. He's Jason Taumalolo. He can still do Jason Taumalolo things. I don't know. I don't like the narrative that's changing on him.
Yeah.
And it's only because of his injuries.
Yep. So you not said move Josh King up the front row?
Don't get it twisted with the how that kid can play.
Yeah.
He's a fucking beast.
Yeah.
You just got to get him fit.
Yeah.
And uninjured.
As in healthy.
Yeah, healthy. I need a healthy Jason Taumalolo.
Jason Taumalolo,
you know,
fit.
Like, he needs to be bouncing off both. How much impact off those legs, man? You seen the highlights on that? You seen his YouTube highlights?
Yeah, I'm on it.
It is awful.
Yeah,
it's one of the best highlight reels I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Both feet. No one should be able to move like that.
Yeah.
He's like, don't sleep on him. It's only because you've been up in North Queensland. If he was playing for the Roosters or anyone like that, oh, my God, you'd be putting him in your starting 13 of all time. Anywhere, anytime, era.
He'd be.
Do not fuck with him. Sure. And I'd hate the narrative on it, and I don't like what's happening, so I'm just going to keep sticking with it and just say he just needs to be healthy.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. But, yeah, if Melbourne would pick him up, that'd
Jesus
be crazy.
Christ.
And it'd be perfect for Melbourne.
Be perfect, because you know what? He wouldn't come here. He ain't coming to Sydney. I just don't think he's a Sydney boy. I think he's either going somewhere else, Newcastle, like, I don't know, just not anywhere but Sydney.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I think he's got that sort of – that energy.
He likes the quieter
just
sort of.
Give me it. Yeah, ain't going to be flashy.
Yep. All right, this one's on the Warriors, mate. Adam Fahey. Can hope we see Zion Mayu beat out Bunty for the bench spot. Kid will be something. Will develop a lot under AFB this year to be left off the leash come 2025. So, Mace, we were watching the New South Wales Cup when we were over for that Warriors episode, and we were asking everyone, who's this fucking Tearaway that was
that
playing
kid
in the middle and on the back? He's playing a bit of back row as well.
Yeah.
Maybe they moved him out to the back row. It was Zion Mayu, and we were super impressed by him.
He's a dog, mate. He goes. He can go. I was surprised that he didn't finish a year in first grade, but I can understand now because how good they went.
They had a good system.
Good system there. But if he comes through, like, you're going to have Fanua Blake, you know, obviously leaving after next year, but like Bunty Afoa and all these other young cats coming off the bench, they better be doing their job.
I'm ready for Bunty to take the next step.
Well, he's been around for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, like he does a job. He's been, you know, a few little injuries here and there, but he's got that in him. He can go. Like, but I just need that. I need that young kid. I'd love to see him at training going at it, pushing these old dudes. As I said, iron sharpens iron. You need that young kid coming in there going, I'm taking it. Not saying it, but like, you know that he's coming for your spot.
Yep. You slip up
one or two games. Mm. You know, he has a couple of better training sessions than you. Next minute, he's on the A side.
And you're
starting on the reserve grade team, and he's on the bench for the first. What's happening?
Yeah,
because he's murdering training.
Mace, go and grab Bunty. Go and grab Bunty. Go jump in there for a set, and you're like, roll in and go, what the
what's happening here? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's what would be happening because I think he'd be just a tear away at training. Yeah. There'd be no handbrake. He'd be just at you.
Doesn't look like he's got a handbrake.
Nah, just straight away. And Fanua Blake, hopefully he can learn everything off AFB.
Well, speaking about Jace before, he looks like he's got a bit of Jace about him, the way he moves.
He can move, man. Yeah, he can move. I just want to see if that translates to first grade.
Yeah.
Because reserve grade is obviously a totally different beast than first grade.
It's doing it consistently for big minutes.
Big minutes in the middle.
Yep.
Doing all the little things. So he's well coached over there by Webster. And he's very detailed when it comes to that because he's from that Penrith system. So it'll be interesting. I want to see if he can do what he does in reserve grade because he's a beast.
If they have sort of guys like Zion and Ali Latawa, really, you know, we say it all the time. It's one of our favourite phrases, iron sharpens iron, right? If we have those sort of kids coming through the grades and really putting pressure on it and, if not even better, forcing their way into the side, then Warriors are legit. Because they've got some good vets.
Yeah, don't sleep on Capel and all those guys that they just got now.
Yeah, that's a nice buy as well. Speaking of buys, here's off the back of the chat on Chad Townsend last week. Obviously, with the news that the co-captains, Braden Kelly's got a spot for him. He goes, man, I reckon Chad would be a great buy for the Dolphins. They are missing a simple half to steer them around. The simple comment is actually a compliment, similar to what Broncos brought Adam Reynolds to do at Brisbane. Yeah. I like it.
I don't mind that.
Yeah.
Don't mind it if they've got some room in the cap.
Yep. They will do too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Townsend, I think right now he'd be like, he's on some pretty decent coin and well-deserved.
Yep.
He can still do a job. He's going to prove it this year and then he might be on the market for like Wayne loves his vets. And he knows how important it is. Like that young Katoa is still 19 and 20. You know, he's a baby. He still needs 2 or 3 years of growth before he even hits the scene as hard as people think that he is.
Yep.
So to have a Chad Townsend there, just to control it, you can play 5'8".
We almost even say not meaning to disrespect Sean O'Sullivan or Chad Townsend, but Sean O'Sullivan's like a younger Chad Townsend, right? Like that's the sort of player. So
he hasn't led a team to
O'Sullivan hasn't done it for a long period of time like Chad's done, but it took Chad a while to build his career.
But Chad he's never really been up and down for first grade. As soon as he hit the scene, he was in first grade pretty much his whole time.
Remember, it didn't work out. He had to go to the Warriors, then he came back. Yeah. And then that's when he sort of kicked on again.
Okay.
But it took him a while. He was sort of in and out of first grade at Cronulla.
Early 2008, 2010s?
Early
2010s,
let's get this right. I'll make sure I'll get up his...
Because I'm thinking it was Robson.
Yeah, Snagsy was around there. Yeah. Yep. Shout out to Robbo, one of the greats.
I think it was like late 2000s he debuted, like 2009 or something like that, he debuted for Cronulla.
Yeah, I'm getting it now, mate.
Daniel Holsworth and all these sort of blokes there?
So Chad, he debuted for Cronulla. Yes, yes, here we go, right? So he debuted in 2011. He played 11 appearances, but then in 12 and 13, he only played 3 and 5. So I don't know if that was to do with injury.
I remember I come back from France and I was playing against Cronulla and I don't think he was in the team.
Yeah, so Robbo played at Para in the 09 grand final. He played with me in 10. Probably, he would have moved to Cronulla in 11.
He did, 12.
So who else would have been playing 6 with him? Anyway, so like it took a while. So then he goes to the Warriors. He plays 19 games in 22, builds his confidence, comes back 2016, grand final year.
Yeah.
27 games, then 25, then 27, then 25.
Yeah, he hasn't stopped since then.
So it took him about 3 or 4 years to cement himself. Bit like sort of, you know, if you're O'Sullivan, you'd be looking at a player like Chad and going.
Yeah, you would be looking at him and just go, can I just kick really well, control the team, make my tackles?
Yeah.
You know, you just know what you are.
Locker room guy.
Know what you are. Just good person. Train, you know, hard. I mean? Don't think you're standards. JT. Don't think you're Joey.
No.
Don't think you're anyone else. Cooper Cronk. Like, understand what sort of player you are and be the best player that you can be.
I like this comment in particular from Braden. They are missing a simple half to steer them around. The simple comment is actually a compliment. It sounds like a backhanded compliment, but that's exactly what some of those young kids at Dolphins need.
But the guys like Adam Reynolds and Townsend, they make it look easy.
Yeah.
Because they just simplify things. Yeah. It's hard
experience. It's reps.
Cooper Cronk was the king at that. Mm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he's the and I say that again with the biggest, in the greatest compliment, the best game manager of all time.
All time.
All right, Scope, massive fan of the potty. I play for Sidell over in England and we've drawn your club Wakey in the Challenge Cup next week. Any chance of a shout out next week's pod to get the boys revved up? That's from Henry Turner. Sidell, I'm Wakey till I die, brother. All right, no shout out for Sidell. I hope everyone stays healthy. You get through the game. But go the Cats, baby. Go the Cats.
Oh, yes.
All right, let's move on to the Brisbane Broncos, mate. Yeah. We're going to break down the two teams, the Brisbane Broncos and the Penrith Panthers. I think this is an undercover signing for the Broncos this year. Fletcher Baker comes from the Roosters.
Big boy.
I think he'll have some sort of role. Yeah. Jaden Hunt from the Dragons, but they had huge losses. Yeah. Herbie Farnworth, Dolphins. Keenan Palacia, Titans. Jersey Flegler, also Dolphins. Logan Bayless is unsigned. And just recently, Kurt Capewell made the shift over to the Warriors. So that's four out of their started 17, mate. So I'll do my best to come up with a predicted lineup for 2024. Fullbacks are like Reece Walsh. The wing spots, this looks like, because we got some mail from Kevy himself a couple of weeks ago, Tony Staggs is going to partner Selwyn Cobbo in the centres to get him more on board. So therefore, I think it'll be Jesse Arthurs deserves to be starting on the wing. He was unreal in the grand final, had a really good back end of the season. I think the OG Corey Oates will come back on the other spot. Maybe a young
Who's the young fella?
Dean Mariner pushing
him. Mariner,
Yeah, I think Dean Mariner will be pushing both Selwyn Cobbo and Corey Oates for that spot. The halves are a lock, and I think they just got close to extending both of them. Ezra Mann and Adam Reynolds, I think they're trying to extend Wren for at least one more season. This is a big spot they need to fill, though. So outside of Payne Haas with Billy Walters hooking, you've got, I think, three guys that will be competing hard for that job. Corey Jensen, who started for him in the past. Also Kobe Hetherington, who adds a little bit different to Corey Jensen, more of a defender. And the name I mentioned before, Fletcher Baker from the Roosters, could potentially be competing for that starting spot. So out of those three, I've gone with Corey Jensen,
Mace. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, you like that as well. In the back row, I think it's a straight swap for Kurt Capewell. I think Brendan Piekura is an up-and-coming.
Oh, jeez. I forgot about him.
I love
him. He's a gun.
Yeah, he's a weapon. So Jordan Ricky can keep his spot on the right.
Yeah. That's what, I don't think they were concerned about getting Capewell out there.
Because
he couldn't find a spot for him.
Yeah.
Because Capewell deserved his spot.
Yeah.
So he had this young kid who was just like getting 10, 15 minutes sometimes.
They were trying
like,
to force
me
to
him. He's a gun, bro.
Yeah, I like him.
He's going to only get better, man.
I like him. Paddy Tough Carrigan, he's at the 13 as per. And then there's for the 14 jersey, they just extended a Sae Smoothie, Tyson, a variety. So I think he will be the 14. Yeah. But Jock Madden played all right in spells. Yeah. And the young gun that everyone's been talking about up there for a minute is Blake Mozza. He's the one that's played Queensland reps. He's supposed to be the next big thing.
Who's the big boy that played off the bench last year?
Xavier Willison.
Where's he?
I got him in my 17. Okay. I got him. So because I've got Corey Jensen starting, I've got Kobe Hetherington and Fletcher Baker on the bench. Right. And then I've got Xavier Willison in my 17 with the old fella, Marty Tapau, pushing them for that 17 spot. I think he'll probably be thereabouts as well, but I'd prefer to go Xavier Willison because I think he's the future.
Oh, yeah, he's the future.
I love him.
He's a big kid. I saw it on he's about 6'9" coming through their ranks.
There's some kid in the under 18s or 20s.
Apparently he's a beast. Yeah. I think 6'9" is a little bit too tall.
Yeah.
For rugby league.
Yeah.
It's too much real estate.
Was he 6'9"?
6'9", they said.
What?
Yeah. I said,
no.
That's too much real estate to hit.
No, that's too big.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said.
Okay. It might be one of those.
I don't know what it was watching.
It might be one of those.
It was the top 10 biggest people in the NRL, and he was like the second.
Oh, it's not the guy that they'll talk, because there's a kid that's left and has gone and started to look at rugby union because he was too big.
I think he should.
Okay.
6'9" is too tall.
Yeah, that's 6'9".
You get a 6'7", like a big Nas, 6'6", 6'7", that's
what do you reckon Nas is about, 6'6"?
6'7". He's got about that much on me.
Yeah, and what are you? Yeah,
I'm 6'5", 6'5 and a half.
Okay.
Right. Nas is big, man. Sick.
My player to watch is Blake Mozza. Predict to finish 1-4. Still a stacked team. To win the GF with our friends, our partners at the tab, they're $4.50. To make the GF $2.40, that's almost a lock. That's the way the betting agencies are seeing it. $4 for the minor premiership, $1.60 for the top four, $1.15 for the top eight. And to miss the eight, $4.75. All right, I've got a question here about the Broncos, about these two teams. Because both teams are stacked, right? What three players would you take from one team to make a super team? So I'm going to simplify that even more. I'm going these two teams. I believe they are still the two most stacked teams in the competition. Yeah. If you could pick one player from any player in the comp to put into the Broncos or the Panthers, who would it be and why?
There's a couple there. Like I think we've had – I'm thinking maybe the nine, Billy Walters, but then I swapped because I like the way Billy plays. It simplifies, simplifies because he gives early ball to Payne Haas. He gives early ball to the forwards, you know, because that's their strength. But then I'm thinking, like, you just lost Flegler. You don't have another big dog. You just got Payne Haas.
Another elite front rower, maybe?
That's just about it.
Yep.
You got Payne Haas, you've lost Capewell, you got Pierre Cora's not a big body. Ricky's not a big body. The lock, Carrigan's, he's a big body.
About 110.
But yeah, like, he's decent. Yeah. Good size. But I'm just saying, like, that other, like, just if they had a Flegler, I would have, like.
So who replaced Flegler? So if you could, because Flegler's a gun.
I want Fanua Blake.
Adam Fanua Blake.
Yeah, because I just think Payne Haas is an absolute beast, straight line runner, and he just will just non-stop 70 minutes in the middle, does everything, 95% effective tackler, does all these little things. Fanua Blake adds a little bit more finesse, a little bit more footy, a little bit more ball playing, or he can like charge straight through your chest. He's got a little bit more variety.
Yep.
Where Flegler had that, but he just used to get off the back of Payne Haas.
Mm.
Like Payne Haas sets the standards there and he gets a quick play the balls, but who's going to go off the back? Carrigan, yeah, but they need that three-headed monster like they had last year.
Yeah.
And they don't have it.
How important is it with if you've got two guys that can bang, specifically if you're going to come up against
Penrith? And it's hard in today's NRL, right? Yeah. But Penrith's got it because they've got Leota, Fish, and Yo.
Yeah.
So you need that other and Jensen's got a big job. He's probably going to go, you know what, I'm going to do that because I think Jensen should be the one who takes that play one or play two for Payne Haas to get on the back.
Got to take that
I want him to do that so Payne Haas can get a fucking line, a scattered line, so he can do whatever he wants.
Mm.
You know, and then Carrigan comes off the back of that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need Payne Haas taking play one, play two.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? I just need Jensen, you get a quick play the ball, you get Payne Haas or Carrigan, they have that play three or play four, kick it.
Yep.
You know, that should be their plan. That should be Jensen's plan. He's going to get the nod, I think, for the starting position. He's going to have to know his role and just do it. And I think he can do it. He can do a role for them easy.
All right.
You're just going to lose the Flegler. You know, and Flegler only just come and hit the scene massively. We always had big raps on him, but he just hit the scene proper last year.
He was unreal.
Played a whole season for him, Origin, got a Strangers at the end. Well deserved.
Yep. But give me one. You go a big front row, Adam Fanua Blake. I like it. I think it's a big part of the game for sure. And Billy Walters did a great job. I'm going to go with Baby Goat. I'm going to go with Harry Grant playing nine. Move Billy Walters potentially to the 14 jersey because he can play multiple positions. Yep. He's played six before. And I think Corey Jensen or even a guy like – I really think Xavier Willison's going to build into a guy maybe by the back end of the season that he's got that starting spot.
Even the first one off the bench.
And one of those real X factors in the middle. And therefore, you get a guy like Harry Grant coming off the back of that, you know, because like Adam Reynolds he's your game manager. So if you've got another option for just say if they're short sitting down a short like a wide four which is on the post and you've got Harry Grant that can pop out one side, use Ezra Mam and then get out and keep those middles nice and honest, I think that would take their game to a whole new level with all the strike power they've got.
I like the way Harry Grant plays, but maybe like if I was a front rower, maybe he runs too much.
Yep. You've got to find the balance.
You need to find the balance. I think Billy Walters has sort of found that. He's gotten tougher in defence. It's just from the ground, right? Mm. Early ball, all that kind of stuff where Harry Grant can just – he's so dynamic in his running game, it'd be a shame for him not to run.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? It's a double-edged sword. You're like, oh, I want you to run, but you know, what are you going to run behind?
Yeah.
You know, like it's – and but I don't imagine, know. And then it might take Payne Haas's game back.
But imagine if Payne takes that – carry on play three, they've got momentum, and then fucking Harry gets out and off that quick play the ball, that'd be game over.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the thing. If you had another prop, I was tossing up. Fanua Blake, Harry Grant.
Yep.
They're both pretty good.
All right, we'll get to the Penrith Panthers after this, eh?
Yeah.
All right, let's do the Penrith Panthers. Their 2024 gains. Dane Laurie, Brad comes over from the Tigers, Brad Schneider from Hull KR, Paul Alamotti from your Bulldogs, Mace. Losses, again, some huge names. Stephen Crichton goes to your Bulldogs. Spencer Leniu goes to the Roosters. Jamin Salmon is also at the Dogs. Jack Cogger, he goes to the Knights. He's underrated piece, man, Jack Cogger. He did a good job. Tom Jenkins, also at the Knights. Chris Smith, unsigned. Eddie Blacker is unsigned. Zach Hosking just recently went over to the Raiders. So
I like Zach Hoskins.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. He's one of those players, it's like, respectfully, you're not going to build your team around him, but he's just a nice piece.
Man.
And he's super, like, he was, always, I mean, almost even think he was better at the Broncos before he went to Penrith. Yeah. But part of the
his old man system. Coached Toronto Scorpions back in the day.
Oh yeah. There you go.
I don't know. They've had some big losses, right? Well, the names you just called out, then they're not like reserve graders. They're all first graders, right?
Well, let's get to the back five. Jeez. Dylan Edwards, I think, is a lock. Obviously, Bizzard is going to be on one wing. But there's some question marks with the wing position because Critter has moved on, right? Mm. So you've got three options. Isaac Tungal is going to be one centre. And for the wing and centre position on the other side, do you go – I've gone with Taylan May on the wing.
Yeah. Oh.
And I've gone with Taruva in the centres.
No, I'd swap him.
You'd swap him?
That's it. Yeah, I'd swap him. I think Taylan, he's built for a centre.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think Taruva is.
I
love his play twos.
I like Taruva's soft hands that he's got from playing fullback though. So
yeah,
I
don't think I've seen enough of Taruva at fullback. I've only seen him Taylan dominate on the wing spot.
Yeah.
Maybe he could play centre if he's got that skill set.
Yep.
Maybe Taylan May is that winger.
You watch him play at the World Cup playing fullback when he's sweeping out the back of those plays. He's got nice soft hands. I just haven't seen that from Taylan May, me personally. No, maybe he's got it in the bag. But he missed all of last season with the ACL too, so it's going to take some transition. And I think if you keep it as simple as possible for him to begin with, maybe you chuck him on the wing, get his carries up.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
his play ones and play two are really good as well.
Especially if they're on one side too.
Yeah.
Same side.
Yeah.
Good luck. We're kicking it that way. We'll kick it to the other way with like –
it doesn't matter where you kick it.
Bizzer, like some, they're just coming at you. It's awful.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you kick it, mate. They're returning hard. Alamotti, do you think he can push for the centre spot?
Yeah, he'll be pushing.
Yeah.
His skill set is high. If, you know, and over there, like he just didn't fit in. Like he was just, he's a young kid.
Yep.
He's got a lot of talent. If they can get half that talent out, he could change.
There's a player there.
There is a massive player there. Mm. It could be one of the biggest regrets in the Bulldogs if he turns out to what they thought he was going to be. He's been a prodigy since he was 12.
Yeah, for sure.
So there's something there. If they can bring that out, and it depends what position he's playing and, you know, in that system and culture and all that kind of stuff. It's just, there's a player there.
Sometimes it's just for some of these young kids, like it might suck in the short term to let go of a player like that and he thrives at another club, but maybe he might not have thrived at your club
exactly.
just because of that point of his career and where
he's
he was.
He's 19. Yeah, he could play over there for 2 or 3 years, come back. I'm not sure.
6 and 7, Jerome Luai, Nathan Cleary, locks.
Yeah.
Middle third. Actually, everyone in the forward pack's a lock. Moses Leota, Mitch Kenny, James Fisher-Harris, Liam Martin, Scott Sorensen, Isaiah Yeo.
It's the same pack.
Bench.
It's the same pack. It's still the grand same, final. Yeah.
Despite losing Spencer was their impact off the bench, so that's going to be missed for sure. So let's get to their bench. In the 14, I've got three options. Tyrone Peachy, Dane Laurie, or Sonny Luke.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
I've gone with Peach.
Yeah.
I've gone with Peach because of versatility.
Me too.
Yeah. And I think Penrith are the best. They're playing players in multiple positions and no one really does that better than the Peach.
Mitch Kenny goes hard too. He needs a little bit of a break.
He needs
Peach
a spell.
Can come on and he's very creative out of the
He can play 15, 20 minutes of hooker, right?
Yeah. Play in the back row, play anywhere.
I think they're going to miss Spencer on the bench, but these guys are pretty much the makeup of what they've been doing in the last couple of years. I think Lindsay Smith is a lock. He's the big, tall body that they like coming off the bench. Luke Garner, he's a hybrid. He can play centres back row for him, gives that versatility. And Matt Eisenhuth has been around the system for years now too.
Yeah, I think.
But they missed that, Spencer.
Trying to think, and I know they've got someone coming through the ranks.
Okay.
They would have about two or three going for that 16 or 17 spot.
Yeah.
So they'll be under the pump, the Garners and Eisenhuths.
Yeah.
They'll probably stick with them for the first, 10 rounds. But if you've got some of these young kids just biting it in reserve grade, they're going to be hard to keep out.
Yeah. I was looking at some of the names. So there's
– surely they've got another.
There's a kid that I was looking at the other day. Harrison Hassett, he's more of a back rower. I think it's Liam Henry. I think it was Liam Henry. He's more of a front rower as well. But there's no real names that stood out that I was aware of. Anyway, there might be, Penrith fans, let us know if you think there's a young Tearaway in the Spencer Lynu mould coming through the grades that we should be excited about. But my player to watch out for, and he played one game, and it wasn't the best game last year. It was when they got dusted by the Parramatta Eels at the back end of the season. Jesse McLean, he played right centre for him. He's a bit of a hybrid wing centre fullback. But He looked like a player. He got a little bit frustrated because things weren't going their way. Remember when Parra got him at the end of the year and did it quite comfortably with by a couple of weeks out from the end of the season?
He played in that poor game, did he?
He was in that game, and they targeted him too. They went at him. Dill Brown had a day out. I think Mike Acevo scored three. Yeah, they had some real joy down his edge. Predicted finish, though, 1-4, obviously. To win the GF, $3.75, very short. To make the GF, almost a coin flip, 210. Minor premierships, 325. Top four, 145. Top eight, $1.06, and to miss the eight, a massive $7 if you think the Panthers are at any chance of missing the eight.
They're going to be hard to beat again.
I've got a really good question for them, mate. So before we get to this question, actually, if there's a player you could put in this Penrith lineup, who would it be? Where do you?
Jeez. No one in. I'm not putting anyone in that forward pack because I think it's the best, most
I'll go first balanced. On this one. Yeah, I've got a name that I think would be really intriguing to see foot of the mountains. The spot that I'm struggling with is centre. I love Taruva and Taylan May as wingers.
Yeah.
I'm putting Joseph Manu.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I'm putting Joey Manu in the centres.
I'm thinking centres as well.
Yeah.
Right, like I was thinking Katoni Staggs.
Yeah.
Like just a dog in that.
Don't take him out another super team. Say, sorry, mate, I should have told you.
Okay.
Leave the other super team because these two teams are going to play GF.
I'm still thinking
maybe centres. Maybe Trell, maybe Turbo in the centres.
Imagine Latrell at left center. Give me Latrell at left center.
Yeah,
you know, with Luai and like Dylan Edwards around the back. And
I've got
like,
Joe Manu on the right, and I'll move Tungo over to the left because he's
That. They're just missing that strike center because we're talking about Taruva and
how important is Critter,
mate? Because he's so versatile. He can play wing, fullback.
He was arguably one of the clutch players at Penrith over the last 3 or 4 years.
A couple of those plays in the grand final, if they're not made, they probably don't win.
Mm.
Over the last couple of years. He's fucking ridiculous. Unreal. He's so big. God, he's a freak athlete.
Let us know. Who would you add into either of those teams to just make them go the next step or because they lost some really big players?
Maybe at another front rower.
No, that's...
No?
Oh, well,
no, I'm just saying just to be on the bench. Like just because Spencer lost, because they lost Spencer.
Tino coming off the bench.
give me Payne Haas. No. Oh, yeah, so we're going from the bottom. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Give me Tino.
Yeah, Tino.
Someone like that.
Tino or Adden. Well, you put Adden in the other team, so maybe Tino for this team.
Imagine that.
All right, this is a good one. I really like this question to finish off. Justin, we are fired up for this next year. We are loving the podcast as the NRL continues to grow in Texas. Shout out to Austin, Texas. One of the great places to visit too, Austin, Texas, by the way. Here is a question for the podcast.
Horns down, is it?
Horns down, yeah.
Horns down?
Texas Longhorns. at what point can we give Coach Cleary his flowers for the creation and implementation of the Panthers system? Or was this system created prior to Cleary and that's why his status as top coach has not been cemented? Mm. I think it's a great question.
Great question.
So there's layers into this.
There is.
Do you – so let's – I've got some stats as well for us. So I've got the top six currently from basically the NRL era.
Okay.
But I also have to go back because Wayne was – post and pre-NRL era because he's just an OG, been around for a minute. So obviously Uncle Wayne's involved. Does Cleary sit in your Mount Rushmore, top four coaches in the current NRL era?
Yeah, he has to.
Yeah.
Like you got Wayne, Bellamy. I don't know who the other two are. Ricky Stewart and Cleary. Who else would they be?
Robbo. There's Robbo Robbo's and Dez.
We'll find out for that fourth spot then.
Robbo and Dez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So it is a good question. And then you think of it like that. Because Dez is up there.
Yeah. All right, let's go through the stats and then we can make the decision after this. So the OG, Uncle Wayne, 912 games with a 61% win rate, 74 finals games at 51%. He won 7 premierships from 10 attempts. That's crazy, eh? And one of those was a Super League, by the way.
It's Tom Brady. He's Tom Brady.
I'm almost untouchable.
7 from 10.
He's the first one in there. So Uncle Wayne, lock. Is lock for you?
Lock.
Of course. All right. Next one I think is going to be a lock for both of us as well. Craig Bellamy, 552 games with a 69% win rate. 50 finals games at 62% in finals.
Crazy.
With 5 premierships from 9 attempts.
7.
A little asterisk. No, a little asterisk. 2 of those were due to salary cap.
Yeah,
So he would only have 3 if you take them away. He's 5.
So he's got 5.
So he's got 5. 5 from 9 because he lost.
7 and 9.
He lost to 7 and 9. Manly.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, they won 7 and 9. Yeah. But he did lose to.
Lost to the Roosters.
Yeah.
He lost to the Sharks. So he lost 4.
Lost 4, yeah.
Five. He's got five from nine. I'm giving him the five.
Him those two. Yeah, easy.
Bellamy's a lock.
A lock. Right. One and two.
I've gone back, and this is in order of when they started too. So we'll keep working back. Next one is Ricky Stewart, and this is like surprised me. His finals record is really good as well. 492 games for Stick. 50% win rate, which is still great for fucking people that don't know. To win 50% of your games in the NRL is so hard as a player or a coach. 24 finals appearances at 62%, shit, with only the one premiership from four attempts. So just not as
– he could have easily won 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
you
like –
you got in the way of that.
Oh, two, yeah, yeah. Well, 0-2, like he got that. We'll like pretty – I'm not going to say that we wouldn't have – we would have won it, but yep, it would have been fucking...
thereabouts?
Would have been there with the Roosters.
Because then you knock him out in 04?
Yeah, 03. Penrith just got him.
They probably should have won that. Just got that's
him.
The
I'm
one.
Just saying, like both those three fucking premierships, he could have won.
And even
couple
the Raiders
of plays, there's a couple of plays off that you're talking about, right? Mm. That
right, Des Hasler, 458 games with a 56% win rate, 30 finals, let me do that again. Yeah. 458 games with a 56% win rate, which is grouse as well. He took his team to the final 30 times, again, 56%. Jeez. And he's had five attempts at premierships and he's won two of them.
I love Des.
Yeah. Does good stats.
Just depends who I want to be coached by, right?
Mm. Then let me finish off with the last two. The next one's Ivan. 424 games with a 56% win rate. That's obviously got better in the last 3 years.
He went down at the Tigers.
25 finals appearances at 64%, which is the best out of any of them.
Yeah.
With three premierships from five attempts. So he obviously, you know, he coached the Warriors to a grand final early, and then he lost the first one against the Storm, but they were coming home strong in that grand final as well. Potentially could have been full. And the one with a perfect grand final record, Trent Robinson. 284 games with a 63% win rate, 24 finals games at 58%, and he's 3 from 3 in the big dance.
Yeah, I didn't know Cleary has coached that many games, like in the 400s.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Because he starts at the Warriors, obviously. Yeah, then he goes to the Tigers, comes back to the Panthers. Right? Like, so he goes Warriors, Panthers, Tigers, Panthers.
So 2011 was his first year of coaching.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
No, it wasn't. Sorry, mate. No? It wasn't. No, Ivan had coached for a few years, got them
well,
to
before
the
that. Sorry. So it was before 2011.
I think it was like 09 or something. Yeah, I think it was 09. Yeah. So let me look. I'll get it up here. Shit.
It's before.
It's way before. 2006 he started the Warriors.
See?
2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010.
Yes.
He gets into the grand final 11. Then he goes to Penrith.
Then goes to Tigers. Then goes back to Penrith.
Tigers for 2 years. Awful. That brought his win percentage down.
Won
the whole
three
week.
Games.
No, he did better than you'd think, actually. So he still won 50% of his games in the last year at the Tigers. Remember they finished ninth all those years for a few years?
Yeah. I think he's been slept on as a coach massively. Because there's no way in the world I would have thought he's been coaching since 2006.
I thought, yeah, I'm thinking more 2010.
I thought he started in the 2010s.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
I didn't know he coached that long.
Here's my question to the question. Do you think people don't – with Ivan
– give him respect?
You give him respect because his success has come later in his career.
Yes.
Whereas all the other guys at least played or coached in the grand final so early or won a grand final. Like Wayne, I think it was one of his first couple of years. Raiders get to a grand final. They get beaten, but he was there. And then he just goes on a run. Craig Bellamy almost won pretty much straight away as well. Ricky Stewart won in his very first year. Dez won pretty early for the Manly team, but Dez is a bit similar, six, seven. I think he's just on the outside. And Trent Robinson, he won in his first year in 13.
I think so. Because you can't help that, can you? But I'm just thinking they're probably going, oh, he's winning now because of the nursery out at Penrith and that, like, and he's got such a great team. You know how hard it is to win games in the NRL now?
So hard.
And to build cultures like this? Like, he's been a big part of that. Massive part of it. Like, I've heard some rumours, right, from some pretty good sources that, like, he's coaching X's and O's and that isn't, like, what everyone thinks it is. Everyone thinks fucking Cleary's, like, this fucking genius out there.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, because I always ask, I said, what's he like as a coach? You're like, eh, you know, like.
So it's more his leadership, like his man managing.
It's something. It can't be just him just turning up and going, okay, we're just going to win now because you've got good assistant coaches.
Can I ask you a question about then Wayne Bennett? Because I always heard Wayne wasn't a massive X's and O's guy either. He was more of a just like controlled the group and had an aura about him.
Wayne has got that aura. Like he could be like a fucking admiral in like the US Army. He's just got that fucking aura and presence where wouldn't matter what he do, he just like demands respect. It's like shit. Like you just want to play for the guy. You know what I mean? Like he's just got that aura. Like you never want to come off the field and like disappoint Wayne because it's like disappointing your dad.
Yeah.
Or your granddad or someone like that. He just has that aura. And it's just like because he cares about you so much. You know, like some coaches, they don't have that real like care factor for you. I play with some coaches, they don't give a shit about you. Mm. Yeah, I definitely know Wayne cares about me. I can still call him now. We still chat about things and just like life after football and everything like that. Yeah. Yeah, I go around his house when he's at South and just sit there one-on-one, talk footy and life for like 2 hours.
The time when I'd go do
for about 2 hours. Yeah. He's sitting up the other end of the lamp, of the kitchen, in a fucking table like this. He's up the other end. I'm up here, this end. He goes, and we just talk about everything. So he's just got that aura. Cleary he's very quiet. He's not out there.
Can I throw a Cleary thing at you that we spoke about? I just want to remind you that we spoke about in the car. He must have a really good relationship or know how to coach Pacific Islander
100%.
Kids. Going to the Warriors, coaching all the Pacific Islander kids over there. The competition is 55% Pacific Island now, 60%. He's obviously got Western Sydney. There's a lot of Pacific Islander kids out there. He must be really good with communicating or have an understanding of how the culture works.
Something is this,
like Wayne does.
There is something there. You cannot and some of these people that I've spoke to, they're fucking great sources. You know what I mean? They would know. And I'm like, there's got to be something. Yeah. He's got to be able to do something. You can't just have good assistant coaches. Where Wayne, you know, like he's always had pretty good assistant coaches, but it's still Wayne Bennett. He knows the game is very simple. It's not. Some coaches overcomplicate the game, right?
Yep,
he simplifies the game. You run hard, you tackle hard, you play for each other, all that kind of stuff, and you probably win games. They probably have better players than other players. You know, just like, but like.
So maybe with coaching, it's not necessarily about the X's and O's, and it's about more about building culture and building standards.
But people just like, you know what everyone's trying to do right now? Is trying to manufacture what's happening out at Penrith, where Penrith have grown it organically. Mm. These guys have come through the system playing Harold Matz, SG Ball, boom, boom, boom. We've got absolute love for that Penrith jersey, right? Where other and this is like this is an anomaly, right? For other clubs don't have that. You don't have juniors like 10 to 12 juniors coming through in your grand final that played Harold Matz for that team. You scouted them from the country as a 17-year-old kid and they grew up, and then they're playing in the grand final. It reminds me, just say in 04, we bought one person, Luke Patton. Everyone else come through that system.
And Marco
Mealy. Yeah. Everybody come through the Bulldog system, either as a 15, 16 or 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And that's rare.
Yeah.
And it's very rare now because everyone wants to buy and just stick it together somehow. But you still need those kids. You need those kids coming through the pathways, about 6 or 7 or 8 of them coming through within about 3 or 4 years of each other. And then bang, then you start building stuff.
Yep.
That's why people are putting so much money into their pathways
now.
They're trying to replicate that. You can't buy Penrith. Penrith have built that.
What teams do you think? Obviously, the Bulldogs got a big nursery.
Bulldogs doing that. Parramatta's doing that. West Tigers are doing it.
I think.
West Tigers.
Concentrating on Campbelltown.
Everybody is concentrating on SG Ball and Jersey Fleet. Mm. And that's from 17 to 21.
You know, it's another 17 big nursery to 20. As well that I think – Todd Payton's doing a good job in North Queensland.
Yep.
With young kids coming through and they've got some North Queensland love their footy, man.
Love it.
Love it.
Brisbane's got a nursery. Like Redcliffe's gonna being in the pathways now and understanding it, like they're just trying to grab like kids like at 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like thinking he's the next Payne Haas and you know, it's a business, man.
Yeah,
it's a business, but it's a whole thing about recruitment. You know, I pick Gus's brain all the time. It's like, how does this happen? He's got recruiters everywhere all around Australia, just like sending him like videos of a kid who's playing under 12s for like fucking some local team up in central Queensland, Capras or something like that. You know, like look at this kid, like nonstop people like because of the day. This is the age of information and phones. Doesn't matter. You can get anything to Gus or any club. Here, my son plays for fucking Toronto Scorpions.
You can watch on YouTube.
Yeah, put it on YouTube, bang, and then you go, oh shit, he can play. And then like you got to scout. Oh, it's so complicated. It nearly does your head in.
Yeah.
Like I'm just looking and go, I didn't really know all the the details of all this shit.
The teams that should be really taking advantage of it, while you're talking about that for me for sure, is the Warriors.
Yeah.
They've got the best opportunity. They've got their own country over there. They should be digging into the nursery over there. The Cowboys and probably the Broncos are the OGs of it.
Yeah.
The like you think back to the Broncos.
Every kid wants to play for the Broncos, yeah. Right?
But then the Storm come in, started taking some players. Then the Titans obviously going to take some players and the Dolphins are there now next door. So,
yeah. So we need to get
circling back. Oh, yeah,
We need to get back to like just say the Bulldogs and all these Sydney teams, right, where players want to play for the Bulldogs, right? Fuck, look at that team. That's a mad team. I want to fucking play for the Bulldogs. When I was playing at Sunny Bill and like, you know, like all those guys, we had a whole generation come through wanting to play for that group, right? Wanting to play for Parramatta, you know, like that. You got those young kids, like these really impressionable young 10-year-olds going, fuck, I want to play for like Parramatta, West Tigers, Roosters, you know, because they follow their favourite players. They're not like us when we were younger. They follow stars, right? Mm. Well, I got forced to follow St. George and got traumatised because they lost 92, 93, 96 and 99.
Yeah.
Sorry, St. George. But it was like that. My old man forced me to go for the Dragons, right? And I'm like, fuck, I used to love Canberra because of Mal Meninga, Ricky Stewart, Bradley Clyde.
And they won.
They were my dudes. I loved them the way they played, Brett Mullins and all those guys. And I'm like, that's what players do now, because that's why clubs try and get stars now. So you can get these young kids trying to go through the grades, wanting to be Josh Adokar, Kikau, all these sort of guys. Yeah. It's a hard Kalen man. It's hard. Kalen Ponga. Everyone wants to be Kalen Ponga, man.
Yeah,
I'm going to Newcastle because Kalen Ponga plays for Newcastle. I'm going to be the fullback for Newcastle. Yeah. Like every other seven who plays, it's a curse up there because of the eighth.
Yeah.
You want to play seven for Newcastle. That's a cursed little job because of Joey. You know, you want to play for Cameron Smith because Cameron Smith, Melbourne, Billy Slater, GI, all these guys that all the players love. Sonny Bill.
That'd be cool to build that down in Melbourne where some kids like thriving to be, you know, Cam Smith. But they've got a pretty good one called Harry Grant there. All right, let's circle back, finish off. Mount Rushmore, go. Pick us your four off the back of those stats. Wayne, Locke.
Wayne, Belly.
Bellamy, Locke.
Mate, 3 and 4 is going to be hard. I love Ricky Stewart. I think it's probably a personal thing because I played with.
This is your Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, because of the fact, like when I said, look, who I followed was Canberra.
Yeah.
Who fed the ball when I played my first game? Ricky Stewart. Ricky Stewart was my halfback.
Yeah, I think he's your go-to. You
know, Australian coach, New South Wales coach, got the best out of me as a player. That's why. Wayne did as well, so Craig Bellamy. So I'm probably being a little bit biased here because I've been coached by all three. The fourth one, I'm going to have to go with Cleary.
Mm.
I think I'm going to give him his flowers because he deserves it. He's been here since – I didn't know how long he's been around for. So 2006 and what he's done like with that group out there and cultivated that whole Western Sydney and that everyone wants to play for Penrith. You're from out there.
Yeah,
fucking but but
that
they,
gonna,
we
that's
just,
what I was going
everyone
ask
just
you.
Stole all the players in the 2000s. Yeah. You know, in the 2010s. Now everyone's like, I want to be a fucking Penrith Panther. It's great for the game and he deserves it.
Mace, if before we left in 2015 to go over to the UK, if someone had said to you in 5 years, Penrith is going to be a force that no one can deal
Dynasty.
With, what would you have said in 2015?
Get fucked. What, Craig Gowell's coming back?
Look, they had some gun teams early on. But they never really were consistent. Like, you know, a couple of, I'd probably say early 2000s where they'll, you know, had off the back of Presto, Craig Gower, you know, Luke Lewis was coming through.
Tour,
but I'm talking Dynasty. We were in 15, we've said no way.
Like locked top four winning comps for like six, 7 years. I got a question for you.
Yep.
Well, I was on this, back on Instagram a little bit now. Person goes, with how quick the game is and how taxing the game is, fatigue factor, all this kind of stuff, what would you do with the interchange?
Mm.
Would you extend it? Would you put it to 10? I didn't really want to answer him because this is like it's a conversation.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like what would you do? What would you you think if you got it out to 10, you could probably, I don't know, would the player like I don't understand. Like the fatigue, would you get more fatigue? Could you leave them on there longer? You leave them off there less, you know, can you bring them off in 20 minutes? Are they managing it?
You know what, man?
It's fucking hard, man.
To be honest, think about this in terms of training, right? Just say if we do a circuit and if we're doing a five, just say for instance, we're doing five exercises, but you drop it to four exercises, but what you do is the reps go up and you go a little bit harder.
Yeah.
I think these athletes these days just adjust.
They evolve. Trust me, I went through when the whole – no interchange, unlimited interchange when I first started to 12.
Were you unlimited?
Unlimited interchange. So I remember playing against Brisbane. I remember playing against Brisbane and they had Shane Webke, Petro, Gordon Tallis, all these big bastards just walking up and down the sideline.
10 or 15
minutes. I'm a 19-year-old kid just going, these guys are my idols. I loved them. Just getting pumped. Wendell, Lottie, Lockie, Tunza, Tony Carroll.
Did they only have
two? Harvey Howard. Big Harvey Howard was a fucking beast. Webke. I was just like, holy shit. And they were just coming on and off, on and off, on and off, and just terrorized. Brad Thorne.
Was there any piece of beast? Brad Thorne. Was there only two on the bench as well? But they just rotated.
I think there was four.
There was four.
And it was just nonstop. So they used to stack it with just like four big blokes, maybe just one back. I think it was Johnny Plath or something like that. And he'd just come on and just like Luke Prittis was the fucking hooker.
Yeah.
And that, so the evolution of it, then it went to 12 and then 10. Obviously, it's 8 now. So I'm like, what'll happen if you do it? I think we can manage.
Yeah.
Easily with 8. So a little bit of coaching involved as well, because I reckon if you had 10, it'd be easy for the players, because you've got these premier props that can play the first half pretty easy, I reckon. Even if 30, 35 minutes, easy. You know, like the Payne Haases, the Tinos. If you want to put them on there for 40, they'll stay out there for 40.
Multiple of them can play 80 now.
Yeah, a lot of them can. So yeah. I'm just like, I don't think putting it out to 10 would help.
I think keep it at 8, but stop changing the rules to fatigue them more.
Yeah.
We don't need to bring
Yes, because the thing is, like, because I was talking about the fatigue factor and that, I'm like, they're fatigued enough.
Yeah,
they're redlining it.
We spoke about this last
week. They're redlining it every single session that they're doing and every single game that they're doing. They're redlining it.
Yeah.
You know, their heart rate's just sitting about fucking 195, 200 for the whole time they're out there.
We don't need to fatigue them.
We don't need to fatigue them more. Obviously, when you fatigue more, then technique goes out the window and all that kind of stuff.
Injuries.
Back ends and halves. That's when that sort of happens. So, yeah, I'm like, I think if it went to 10, as I said before, like, we just evolve as players. You just get fitter. You just get fitter. We got fitter as it went from unlimited to 12 to 10 to 8. You just had to get fitter.
You adapted.
You adapt. All the Polynesian brothers ever gone, oh, he's not going to play. Tamalolo, perfect example. Mm. Oh, he can't play more than fucking 15
Change
minutes.
Your game.
Guess what?
80.
He trained his fucking ass off. He can play 80 and he'll destroy you.
All right, mate. Before we wrap it up, you had 17 teams in your top 8. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through. We're going to do a proper top 8 on Thursday.
Yep.
I want to get predictions. I want top try scorer.
Okay.
I want Daly M. I want a top point scorer, all the stuff that we can look at in the odds for our friends at the tab. And we just want to remind everyone, what are you really gambling with? And for free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au or call 1-800-858-858. And for people that want to know my Mount Rushmore before
we finish up. Give it to me.
Wayne, Craig Bellamy, Ivan, and Robbo.
I knew it. See you guys. Recorded? Oh, yeah,
all right. All right, mates, we finished the show, but we've got some breaking news. We've got an article here from Adam Pengelly.
Pengelly.
NRL's concussion revolution, contact training limit on cards as league looks to NFL. So every NRL will be under a Big Brother-style supervision at every contact training session this year, with an army of medical staff and spotters to be used to detect possible brain injuries as rugby league's concussion revolution gathers pace. In the same week, the Australian Institute of Sport recommended all adults and children in community or youth sport spend 21 days on the sideline. The NRL has taken its strongest step yet in attempting to combat the brain injury threat during practice sessions. So basically, they're going to be filming all contact sessions. So if anyone was, and you guys have been at the forefront of this. Last year, Gus got told everyone about Viliami Kikau getting injured at training. He therefore missed a couple of weeks. That was huge. That really, Kicks was one of your best players. So that really affected how you performed for those couple of weeks. Now they're going to be filming every contact session. And if anyone shows symptoms that they show in games, bang, they could be missing games. Huge.
Yeah, I get it. Like, I think this is great for the NRL and the players, the player safety and everything like that. But like, I'm not sure how they're going to police this.
Mm.
Like, just say if you want to hold a contact session that's not at Belmore or not at Penrith Stadium and you went off campus. Like, some coaches want contact sessions. This is a contact game.
Yeah.
What do? You have one contact session a week?
I don't think that they're not telling them not to have the contact sessions. They just want to watch it.
Mm.
So it's not necessarily – you're not getting rid of contact sessions. They just want you to film it so they can see what happens.
But it's going to end up being like that. It's going to end up like being like the NFL where you got like two contact sessions a week.
Yeah.
And it's going to be filmed. It's going to be like you're going to be – they're going to be all over you. So I just worry about like what happens to save pathways? they're hitting just as hard.
Yeah, yeah.
The contact sessions are just as hard.
Yeah.
You know, so like I just think with they need to be careful what they do. They could open up Pandora's box here. I know they're looking after players and everything like that, but
yeah, here I'm we not go. Sure. So here's a bit of a summary from Lukey as well. Each club will be required to film every contact session they conduct through 2024 with footage to be used to analyse and potential concussion risks during training. The club's football staff must also log with the NRL how long players spend doing physical contact each week. You're right, mate.
Yeah.
The duration of team sessions, the data will be used to shape ARLC's view on whether it needs to make a policy on contact training limits.
That's what I mean. Yeah, they'll try and limit it.
This is a study this year.
This is a study, and then in a year or two, they'll be like, okay, you only have two contact sessions or one contact session a week. This game is all about contact, you know what I mean? And, like, it's a contact sport, obviously, but, like, I know a lot of teams – there's fucking about four contact sessions a week. Everything, every day is contact.
Pre-season, would you say a minimum of three?
Yeah. It's non-stop.
That's including wrestle too.
Yeah, like wrestling is like, it's intense. Like they're doing one or two wrestling sessions a week. And then plus you're doing like some, like there'd be a defense day. It's just all defense and that's all contact. It's just, you can't help, but I'm not sure how they're going to police it. Because you want players. I'm just. This is me speaking from just knowing what's going on at training. You're fucking going at 90%.
Yeah.
You're getting told to redline it all the time.
Especially so young kids.
Some players don't know how to switch it off.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to turn it back on when they play.
Yeah.
At an NRL level.
Yeah.
So
I think
players need. So players need to understand. Like you play how you train. That's the whole old ethos. The old ethos of the NRL. You need to go at 100%. That's what you're getting told your whole life. Now you got to turn it off. At training all the time, and then turn it on the weekend.
Yeah,
right. Only vets can do that. You don't get trained like when you're coming through the system in the pathways. You're fucking going at it. These guys are fucking going at it at pathways 2-3 times a week.
So do you think they'll be recording pathways I think it's purely first.
It's purely first grade. Well, if they want to care about the protection of all players, you need to be recording fucking from 17s all the way to first grade. Because these guys are copping as much contact week in, week out. It's not as heavy, but these guys are 120 kilos. They're going at it, and their contact sessions are fucking brutal.
It's a lot of extra work for the staff to be always checking in with the NRL and sharing the data.
It's a big job. I love what they're doing. I love what they're doing. Yeah, take care. It's gonna be fucking hard for you because guess what? If your coach says you're not doing enough contact and you're just getting run through the fucking front door every single weekend, you're going off campus.
I remember the NFL when they first implemented this. It felt like for the first couple of years there were more contact injuries because you've got to find that balance because you need contact. Otherwise, you're gonna get injured.
Yes.
So don't obviously you worry about head injuries, but also during the preseason you need to be getting some good contact in. So by the time you get to trials, you can't replicate
your body
anywhere
needs
else.
To calcify. To how to get hit, right? And you need to know how to train. Like, just say, when we're all playing, you get fucking hits like guys' arms. They're like brick walls,
little
man.
Corks. You need little corks.
Yeah, you touch me on the arms now, I'll be like, don't touch me. When I was playing, you could hit me with a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
And most of these players are like that because you build the calcification all over your body. You train hard, you're hitting hard every single day. You're just used to it. It's a fucking sport. This is a contact sport.
Here's what I'd do if I was coaching a team and almost you know how. Probably now you do obviously a wrestle session, maybe two, and a full contact session. I reckon it'll get to the point where they'll have a wrestling session still, but I'd go maybe limit my time with the playing group and go, all right, boys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do 40 minutes. Don't worry about 80. Don't worry about 90. We're going 100, as in you can fucking get legs. You can chop hard. We go full scrimmage and we bang. It's going to be 100, but it's going to be a lot shorter than what you used to. So you can really double down on it, get that contact that's required.
How do you reckon Ricky Shield will handle this? How do you reckon he'll handle it? Yeah. How do you reckon some of these young coaches will handle it when they know what it takes to be that guy, to be that team?
Ricky, Dez.
How do you think they're going to deal with it?
You can't tell those coaches.
Craig Bellamy. How do you think he's going to deal with it?
Yeah.
That's what they're built on. These guys train the hardest.
Bellyache might retire because of this.
Belly will retire. You just brought him into retirement. Imagine being a coach right now and you've got that's another drama you've got to deal with. And I get it. You're looking after the players, but understand we know what we're fucking getting into as players.
Yep.
We want this.
Yeah.
Want contact. We want the contact. We need contact. I know, no, I'll limit it to the head and everything like that. I don't want people getting knocked out all the time, but this fucking sport is brutal. It ain't for everyone. It ain't for everyone. And I'm sitting here as a fucking ex-player. I know exactly what it takes to get to the top. Yeah. And if they're going to fucking limit this shit, there ain't going to be that many people getting to the top.
95% of us, that's what draws us to the game.
Where?
Some of the boys don't.
A lot of us aren't cut from that cloth. Not about 98% aren't cut from this cloth. You know, but, you know, I am.
Yeah.
Like most of my mates are. We all understand this shit. That's why this conversation will be fucking everyone going, oh, he's such a fucking brute. No, fuck it. This is the way it is built. This is what the game is built on.
Yeah.
This is not for everyone. That's why half you guys are fucking accountants and builders and all this other shit. Yeah. You do your own thing. We played fucking footy.
Yeah.
And we want to be the best at it. I love a fucking, whatever you do, fucking do it the best.
Yeah.
But like, bro, like this is
what we signed up for.
This is what we signed up for. We know the fucking repercussions of like what's going to happen. We know the risk. If we don't want to fucking play it, don't play the game. Simple. You get to that age when you're 15, 16, you're like, fuck, I used to love it when I was playing with my mates and shit. Now I got to go out to Mount Druitt, play against a 6'5" fucking Tongan who's going to ragdoll me. I don't like fucking rugby league anymore. Dad, fuck it. I'm going to go surf. Yeah. Guess what? Yeah, then you'll fucking know. But then all the rest of who want that, who are fucking from a different upbringing, got dealt different cards when we're younger. Yeah. We want that fucking smoke.
Yeah. All right, this will develop more as the week goes on. We'll chat about it more on Thursday.